Blog Talk Radio.
Coming with the Feast of Weeks,
Pentecost, Yah our Redeemer. And so we want to pay close attention. Now, I promised someone that I would reteach part of this from last night, and we're going to go over that quickly this morning. But we want to look at and focus on Yah our Redeemer, how he set this up from the very beginning. He has told us all through the scriptures that he is our Redeemer and he is our Savior. And so we're going to look on that this morning, because this is also what the Pentecost is all about. The work that the Most High has done to allow us to come back into his kingdom, that he might restore us. And he wants us to know that it's him doing it. And so before we get started, let us usher in the presence of the Most High. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. We may have the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. As we do our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We lift you up. We magnify your name. We thank you for first loving us, Father, for giving us a Pentecost, giving us the opportunity to once again come into your kingdom, Father, and to be in right relationship with you. It is getting into your kingdom that is the most important thing. And on this day, 2,000 years ago, hallelujah, you made it possible by, hallelujah, releasing your spirit to all mankind. So, Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And we are repenting from our sin, and we're turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back to your people now. Hear our supplications and our prayers, and deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings. Chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, and saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them away, who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. The Pentecost, Citizenship Day into the Kingdom. We're looking at this from the standpoint of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Last night we covered how during the Pentecost, in Torah, during the old days, before Messiah came, they would be coming to the temple. They would be bringing their first fruits. They would be thanking God for the blessings of the year and for the harvest. But this was also a spiritual connotation for in the future. So he gave us this day to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks after Passover, plus one day, gives us 50. And that's what Pentecost stands for, 50. And so on the 50th day after Messiah was crucified, we have the release of the Ruach HaKodesh. I'm going to go back over some things reviewed from last night, and then we're going to get into Yah, our Redeemer. Because we got to understand that it's he who is doing everything for us. It is he that is made a way that we can get back into relationship with him and get into the kingdom. It is he that, when he came in the flesh, which we will deal tonight, him walking among us, as he came in the flesh, how he said that when we remember him, that we are to remember his death. Do this in remembrance of my death. So we want to make sure that we understand that he doesn't want us to take what he had to go through lightly, that we might enter into the kingdom. See, what the Most High was dealing with me this morning, I told you he would probably deal with me during the night, but he did. And what he doesn't want is for us to trivialize his death. So when we get caught up in the resurrection, which we should be thankful for and happy because it allows us and shows us that he has conquered death. But he says, you know what? I really don't want you to trivialize what I went through. I don't want you to make it to where you ever take this death for granted, how I suffered. So we're going to deal with that on this evening. But today, we want to look at him from Torah and the prophets and bring it into the New Testament so we can understand the day of Pentecost. So I'm going to, I'm not going to go as in-depth as I did last night on certain things because we covered them last night, but I still want to review because I promised someone that I would do it. But we want to look at Yah, our Redeemer, this morning. We want to understand that when he sends his spirit, that it is actually his spirit that he sent. He's true to his word, and we want to be faithful to that in the scriptures. So without further ado, I want to greet all those who are listening on the internet, Pal Talk, Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our God and our Redeemer. We greet you in the matchless name by which no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. So we have to understand this and always, always reverence this. It is critical to us as his people and as we sell him and project him and tell the world about him. Let's go to the book of John, starting off in the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 24. See what the scripture says about Elohim himself. Elohim, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is a spirit. That is who and what he is. We know that he is holy. I don't think anybody would argue that point, ever, that he is holy. So by default, he is the Holy Spirit, the first spirit. The always translates into the first, the original, the Holy Spirit. Elohim is a spirit. He was the first. He was and is the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, and we're going to get verses 31 through 34. Quick review of last night. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant. And this is the covenant that we are coming into, that we have entered into. A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And after those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward part, write it in their heart, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So in Torah, he wrote the laws on the tablets of stone. Now he says he's going to write them under the new covenant in our hearts. Go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4, and verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of Yah unto Zerubbabel. And again, Zerubbabel means called out of Babylon, called out of confusion. If you have been called out of confusion, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yah of hosts. This is how I'm going to do this work. I'm not going to do it by might or by power. I'm not going to overpower you. It's going to be by my spirit. And you're going to have to want my spirit. It's by my spirit, saith Yah, that I'm going to do these things. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to drop down to verse 24. Again, this is a quick review from last night. Now, it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives of the river Kibar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of Elohim. And in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of Yah came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of Yah was upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So Ezekiel sees this fire, this ball of fire, imploding in on itself, but coming like a whirlwind. And it makes this sound. Let's drop down to verse 24. And when they, now between verses 4 and 24, he describes the angels that are coming. Okay, so I want us to understand that real quick. And when they, the angels, went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of a great water. We know in the scripture that peoples are described as waters in the scripture. Many waters, great waters, many peoples, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. So the wings of these angels sounded like speech, but also the voice of the Almighty sounds like many waters. It says, as the voice of the Almighty. So the Almighty sounds the same way. His voice sounds like many people speaking. The voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head. When they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. And as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw the color of amber and the appearance of the fire round about within it, and from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and I had brightness round, and it had brightness all about it, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance and the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yah. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So we have Ezekiel describing these angels as coming. He hears the sound of their wings, and the sounds of their wings also sounds like the voice of the Most High, the voice of many, many people, the voice of speech. And he saw the Most High on top of the angel. So who is arriving? This bunch of angels, but who's on top of them? The Most High. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1. Continuation from chapter 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand on thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now the Spirit entered into him. This is the same thing that happens as we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 and understand that the Most High arrives again. And they say they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, just like Ezekiel saw. But they don't get to see the Most High in Acts chapter 2. Ezekiel gets to see him. He describes him. He says, hey, he's riding in on a bunch of angels. And his voice sounds like that of many waters, many people. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, like that whirlwind that Ezekiel saw and heard. And it filled all the house that were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, many tongues, as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit, the same Spirit that entered into Ezekiel. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Most High Elohim. And began to speak with other tongues, the many tongues that the Most High, the many languages that he sounds like. When he sat upon all of them, they began to speak with these other tongues just like the Most High, because the Most High starts speaking through them. As the Spirit of the Most High gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue, his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? So the Most High has entered into all the disciples and all the 120, and they are speaking, and they're speaking other languages. And with the people coming here, they're saying, we're hearing them speak in our own tongue wherein we were born. I want us to pay attention to this because this is important. How, verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Understand that our people had moved out of Israel. They weren't just in Israel, and they weren't just speaking Hebrew. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Proselyte is a convert. Somebody who has converted to being a believer in our faith. So as we had moved out of Israel and it moved all around the Mediterranean and into all these other parts, our people had also began to be born there. But they realized, they knew who they were still, and they would still come back for the feast day. So here they're coming back for Pentecost. The thing here is that it's saying strangers of Rome, and Jews and proselytes, convertees. These are Gentiles. You can't be a Jew and convert. You're already one. You can't be a Jew and be a believer. Now, you can have been a non-believer and convert. But the proselytes are people who didn't believe. Proselytes are people who weren't born of us, but converted to us. It says Crete and Arabian, Arab. So we understand that these are Gentiles, but they have converted to Judaism, for lack of a better word, okay? And they, the law says that if they want to come close, circumcise their males, all their males, and they must agree to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then they were to be treated as one in the land, as a homeborn. So they are treated as being one of us, an Israelite. And they're coming to the Pentecost. They are keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They have met the requirements. And our forefathers even treated them as one as born in the land. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of Elohim. So they, the Spirit of the Most High, fills all the apostles and the 120 that are in the upper room. They start speaking, and all the crowd comes together, and they're hearing them speak in their language. They said, are not all these who speak Galileans? How they understand our language, how they speak in our language. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, verse 12, what meaneth this? What does this mean? How is this happening? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They drunk. I don't know what kind of wine you can drink that will make you talk a new language. But evidently they thought that, you know, some of them thought they heard stammering lips. Some of them thought they heard gibberish. Because when you don't speak another language, it sounds strange to you. So they're saying, hey, these men are full of new wine. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, by this be this known unto you, and listen or hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now, when you understand these shifts in the day started at 6 a.m. in the morning. That's when they started counting the day. Even if it was nighttime, it was still the start of the day, depending upon the time of the year. It's the third hour. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They ain't drunk. We ain't in the habit of waking up in the morning and getting drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, we got to go see what Joel said. Go to the book of Joel, chapter 2. The book of Joel, chapter 2. And let's get verse 28. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Let's read that again. Because the promise is, the Most High says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 told us that Elohim is a spirit. The Most High is talking here to Joel. He's telling him, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Not a spirit, but my spirit, myself. I'm going to pour out of myself. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, this is another testimony as to who he's going to fill, your son and your daughter, Hebrew Israelites. But it was illegal for a Hebrew Israelite to take one of his brothers or his sisters as a servant. And if he did, he had to let him go after 7 years. But these servants upon the handmaidens and upon the servants, those would be male servants, these were supposed to be of the nations that Israel had conquered. I'm going to pour out my spirit on them as well. So this, he's always telling us it's going to be you and all those people that are called by my name. even the Gentiles, and those that belonged to Israel, they were considered part of Israel. So I'm going to pour it out on them too. It's going to do an even greater work, because this promise was not just to Israel. Israel was supposed to be they're supposed to purvey or to convey this promise to the world. We're supposed to teach the world the statutes, laws, and commandments and how to enter into the kingdom. This was Israel's job, what they were selected for, why the Most High chose and created Israel. You are going to be my priesthood. It is through you that I'm going to tell people how to enter into the kingdom. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Out of everything that we said, here's what it's all about. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which Yah pitched and not man. See, man made this tabernacle on the earth after the order that which the Most High showed Moses. He says, build it exactly like I show you. Okay? The true tabernacle was pitched by the Most High and not man. That true tabernacle was in heaven, and it represents a man. Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, where is he at? He's in the heavens. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So this is a different priesthood. This is the Melchizedek priesthood. This is the heavenly priesthood. And this is the priesthood that we are now a part of, the Melchizedek priesthood. Our high priest is in heaven. And he's actually over the tabernacle, the sanctuary, which Yah pitched, which is us, who serve unto the example and the shadows of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of Elohim when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Moses, make it exactly how I showed you. Make the tabernacle on earth. Make it exactly like I showed you the one in heaven is. But the one in heaven represents a man, because the Most High had already built his temple that he wanted to dwell in. But he wasn't ready to fill all of mankind. So he says, make a place that I can come down and dwell with you. Make it after the pattern that I showed you in the heaven. Excuse me. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. This is that new covenant that we have entered into, which was established upon better promises. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to make you my children, my son. It says like that. But he's talking about not just males, but the female as well. I'm going to make you my children. And I'm going to give you eternal life. And I'm going to elevate you by my spirit to godhood. And Messiah said it. Did you not know that you are God? And the spirit cannot be, and the scripture cannot be broken. That you are God. But you don't become a God on your own. You become a God by the spirit of Elohim. And when we think that we're going to become gods of our own right, then we are sadly mistaken. He said he will not form another god. Hear, O Israel, you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? He says, I know not any. He says, neither will I form another God. So how does he elevate us to that position? By filling us with his spirit. And I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So he elevates us to this position of Elohim by his spirit. We become one with him. And we have to understand that we don't become individually Elohims by ourselves. It is by his spirit. Everything is by his spirit. So he says, I'm going to make you, give you better promises. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to make you my children by giving you my spirit. And I'm going to elevate you to Godhood. I hope we can hear this. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, what was wrong with the first covenant? We were what's wrong with the first covenant. Then shall no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, finding fault with us, he said, behold, the days coming, saith Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, but because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their mind. I will write them in their heart, and I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for all shall know me, from the least to the great. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first old. I'm doing away with that old covenant. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. I'm doing away with this. You need to come into the new covenant. You need to come up under the new contract. You need to come into the kingdom and enter into this new contract the way that I said to enter into it. Not according to your own understanding, but the way that I said to enter. By my spirit. By my spirit. So let us understand that the mechanism that the Most High put into place, was that he's going to do everything by his spirit. And I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men. And your daughters, and your manservants, and your maidservants. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon Israel. And all the strangers, the Gentiles who come to believe, I'm going to pour out my spirit on them as well, because they will become part of Israel as well. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Because today we're looking at the Most High. Not really about us. We want to know how we get into the kingdom. We want to know what were the signs that he gave us. Even in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I didn't go over all of Acts chapter 2, but we will revisit it tonight. Because we need to know how to enter in. We have to do what he says to do, and we have to show and experience the same things that he's showing in the scriptures. Psalms chapter 78, verses 34 and 35. It's talking about us and how disobedient we were as a people, and how he has to get our attention. Okay? When he slew them, the them is us, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after Elohim. And they remembered Elohim was their rock, and the High Elohim their Redeemer. Israel always knew that the Most High was our Redeemer. He's the one that delivered us out of Egypt. And every time that we would go astray, he would send us into a captivity. So many, six or seven of them that we know of. But then he would always redeem us because we are his people. But he says, you know what? You're stiff-necked and you're hard-headed. Go to Isaiah chapter 4. The book of Isaiah chapter 4. And let's get verses, not Isaiah 4, Isaiah 47. My bad. The book of Isaiah 47 and verse 4. As for our Redeemer, Yah of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. By my Spirit, I'm going to redeem you. By my Spirit, I'm going to save you. By my Spirit, do you become my sons and my daughters. By my Spirit, do I give you salvation and eternal life. By my Spirit, as for our Redeemer, Yah of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 46, because he's been telling us through all the prophets who and what he is to us and what he's doing with us. We have to accept this and understand that when he came in the flesh, who he was that came in the flesh, because this is how I want you to know me. Isaiah 44 and 6, thus saith Yah, the King of Israel and his Israel's Redeemer. Yah of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no Elohim. Do we believe him? He's telling us, I'm your Savior, I'm your King, I'm your Redeemer, and besides me, there is no God, no other God. Everything else made up in your mind. Everything else is something pretending to be. I am your Elohim. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I am your King. Isaiah 43. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Verse 3 through 11. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 3 through 11. For I am Yah thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Now we know we broke this honor. And I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. This is our hope, even in these last days, that we should be gathered from the east and from the west, from the punishment that was placed upon us for disrespecting the Most High Elohim, for being in transgression in his laws. I will gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. We have been scattered into every nation on this planet. This couldn't have been fulfilled in the past. This takes time for people to migrate and for people to be sent into captivity everywhere and to be settled there. The Most High is yet to do this. And so we got to understand that this promise is even for today. Bring my sons and my daughters, ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. This is why when we get baptized, and we need to hear this, we need to understand, when you get baptized in the name of Yeshua, you are called by his name. He says, you shall not take my name in vain. Don't come to me and say that you accept me as your Savior, that you recognize the work that I did, how I died for you, and how cruel it was, disregarded, just treated like nothing, worthless. He said, don't do that. And all those that are called by my name, both Jews and Gentiles, I'm going to gather them all. Everyone that is called by my name. See, Israel wants to make it, or some of Israel wants to make it, oh, this is only the Hebrew Israelite. It is not. This salvation from the very beginning, even in Genesis, when the Most High told the woman that her seed would bruise the head of the enemy and the enemy would bruise his heel, would temporarily harm him. But he would bruise the head of the enemy. He would destroy the enemy. This was before there was an Israel, before there was a Hebrew. This was to Adam and Eve and everybody that comes out of them, all of mankind. So in order to do that, you got to come into his name. You got to come into a relationship with him. You got to be baptized into his name. When you get baptized into his name, then you become his. And you agree to obey and to conduct yourself as he has said, not as you have said, but as he has said. Both Jew and Gentile. Everyone that is called by my name, I'm going to gather them. Now, there's another lesson in that, because do you really think that the Most High pleads with us? Oh, please, please do right. Please straighten up. Fly right. It's not what he's talking about. And one day I'll do the precept on it, what that pleading actually means. He's not going to be mocked. So let's continue. We are, let's do verse 7 again. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name. Why? For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. You are formed for him, created for him, to be called by his name, to belong to him. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. Both Jew and Gentile. I'm going to gather you. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. The world is going to gather. He's going to tell, when he said, let all of them be, that's a commandment. And it's going to happen. They're going to be gathered together, assembled. And he's going to ask him the question, who among you can declare this? Who among you can show us the former thing? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or, if they ain't got no witnesses, or let them hear and say, it is truth what he's saying. Everything that the Most High has said, he will do. Everything that he has said, he's going to do and has done it. It is truth. Is there a God beside me? I know not any. Everything that he says, the nations are going to come together and have to agree. They're not going to be able to produce a witness to testify against the Most High Elohim. To say, oh, no, what he's saying ain't true. It didn't happen like that. It ain't going to happen like that. He says, let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified in how they are treating his people, how they are disobeying him, how they are doing what they want to do in their own eyes. You are my witnesses, verse 10 again, saith Yah, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he who before me there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the first and I am the last. There ain't no Elohim besides me. There ain't going to be one after me. So we got to believe him. So how do we become Elohim? By my spirit. I'm going to elevate you to godhood by my spirit. You're not going to be a god outside of me. I, verse 11, even I am Yah, and beside me there is no savior. I don't know any other god. There ain't going to be no other god formed. And there's no other savior than me. We are supposed to be, if you are, call yourself Israel, this has to be your testimony. This has to be your witness. You can't say something other than what the Most High has said concerning this. By my spirit, and I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. You can't make that an angel. You can't make that another man. You can't even make that his word. He is, and he exists, and he is a spirit. He says, now I'm going to pour myself on all of you. I'm going to enter into you like I used to do the prophets and the kings. And I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to give you the proper interpretation of the scripture. I'm going to line up line upon line and precept upon precept for you. Because you are my witnesses, and I don't want you witnessing and telling a lie. So we can't say anything outside of what he says of himself. I will pour out of my spirit in the last days. Zechariah, by my spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith Yah Elohim. When we don't recognize that, we're going to miss the kingdom. When we don't allow the Most High to have his way with us, we're going to miss the kingdom. Pentecost is about citizenship day. The day that the Most High released his spirit into the world and start letting people qualify and get into the kingdom, become members of the kingdom. That's why he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's supposed to be within you. But if you don't have his spirit, you are none of his. Scripture tells us that. If you don't have his spirit, you are none of his. Because it's by his spirit that he's doing all this. So when you resist like our forefathers resisted in the wilderness, he said, you stiff-necked and hard-hearted, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You do always resist the spirit of the Most High. Because see, when we say Holy Ghost, we want to make it another spirit, another entity. The Most High didn't say, I'm going to pour out the spirit of an angel on you. He didn't say, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to put my word in there, but I'm going to be in there doing it. You can't pick up the book and read it on your own and say, oh, I got the Ruach HaKodesh because I've read his word. How many people in this world have read his word? The Pharisees read his word. They were not filled with the Ruach. The Sadducees had read his word. They were not filled with the Ruach. The scribes, the teachers read his word. They were not filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. The elders taught the people the law and enforced the law. They knew the law, and they were not filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. So it ain't about reading it. It's about allowing the Most High to fill you with himself. I shall pour out of myself upon all flesh. And so we have to come real with ourselves. We have to become repentant within ourselves. And we have to become submissive to the Most High within ourselves, each and every individual. We can't contradict his word. Not by might. I'm not going to slap you upside the head and make you do this. Not by power. I'm not going to show my power to you for you to convert. I did that to your forefathers, and what did they do? They disobeyed. I came and showed them my power and my might that they might not sin. What did they do? They sinned anyway. So up under this new covenant, I'm not going to do it that way. You're going to have to genuinely want me, not with a piece of you, not what you want to give me, but with your whole heart. And you're going to have to turn yourself over to me wholly. Wholly, and what I mean is entirely. Yeah, I surrender. I surrender. We have songs that say this stuff. How is it that we still don't get it? I surrender all to you, Yah, Elohim. Come. Give me the promise. You promised that if I repented, turned from my wicked ways, if I sought you with my whole heart, that you would fill me with your spirit. This is the mechanism that he has put in place. There is no other way in. No other way. You can try to be as good as you want to be. You can try to obey all the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. But if you don't submit yourself to him, you just be a good person going to the lake. Because he says, it's by my spirit. Let us go to the book of Romans chapter 8 real quick and then come back to this. The book of Romans chapter 8. Because this is what this day is all about. The book of Romans chapter 8. To start in verses 1. The book of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now we read this for a whole year. Just bring it back home again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? the Spirit of the Most High. You got to have his Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That's where he found fault in the law, in the first covenant. It was weak through our flesh. So he had to come up with a new one. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. How or why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the Most High. You can't walk after the Spirit of the Most High if you have not allowed him in. If you have not allowed him to fill you with his Spirit. You can read these scriptures and you can try to do right, but you're going to be doing right according to your flesh, not according to the Spirit of the Most High Elohim. He is the root of everything by his Spirit. Let's continue. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, verse 3 again, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the Most High Elohim. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's all you can do. Without the Spirit of the Most High, you cannot do this thing the right way. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of the Most High. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When the Most High enters in you, this is what I was telling people when I witnessed. When you know that the Most High has entered you, it's not something that you think. Trust me, it's not something that you think. It's not something that you believe. It's something that you know. There's nothing like this. When Yah Elohim decides to accept you and enter into you, there is nothing like that. So you know, you don't think and you don't believe. You know. I know the Most High Elohim has accepted me, and I know he has entered into me, because you can't, there is nothing like it. So it's not something that you have to guess at. Now, for you as the individual person, there's nothing like that experience. But can the person who's next, who's beside you, can they see when the Most High entered into you? Can they see it? How do they know that the Most High has entered into you, that he's come into this relationship with you? We're going to deal with that on this evening. Because this is about the Most High being our Redeemer and our Savior. So we'll deal with that on this evening in preparation for Pentecost. We're in the book of Romans chapter 8. Why is this? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, the natural man, is enmity against Elohim. He's hatred. He is opposed to Elohim. He's opposed to doing everything that Elohim stands for. Your natural man. He wants to eat and drink and fornicate or have sex and reproduce, satisfy itself. That is the way of this natural body, this flesh. Try to starve your natural man. Try to go 2 or 3 days and your stomach start growling. Probably for a lot of us, even before then. Feed me. Feed me. Give me water. It's hot. It's cold. Oh, you sure looking good. That's this natural man. What am I going to be in this world? How much power or wealth can I amass? That is the way of the natural man. And it is contrary to the Most High Elohim. Because the natural man wants to count on itself. It wants to take care of itself. Survival. So to count on Elohim is contrary. What do you mean? Count on the Elohim. The body don't want to hear that. The flesh don't want to hear that. I got to eat. I got to sleep. I got to take care of myself. That is the natural man. And it is enmity against Elohim. It is in opposition to him. It is hatred toward him. Let us hear the word of Yah. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim, and neither indeed can be. You and your natural self, you trying to subject yourself to the laws of Elohim? The scripture just told you, you can't. It is not the nature of the flesh to do so. And so you'll try and always find yourself falling short. Always find yourself doing something you ought not do. Thinking something you ought not think. Saying something you ought not say. Touching something you ought not touch. That's the way of the flesh. And you cannot bring it into subjections to the law of Elohim. Elohim says it is not in subjection to his law. And neither indeed can be. So if you don't allow the Most High to fill you with his spirit, you cannot bring yourself into subjection to his laws. You will find yourself breaking them all the time. Trying to find an excuse as to why you're breaking them. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Yield yourselves to the spirit of Elohim. Let's continue. Verse 7 again. Because the carnal mind is enmity, hatred against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. If all you got is your flesh and what your flesh can do, what your flesh can read, what your flesh can understand, you can't please Elohim. Because what pleases him is becoming one of his children. That's what pleases him. How does that happen? By allowing him to fill you with his spirit. That is the only way. This is the new covenant. I used to only do this for the prophets and the kings. But in the latter days, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You have to do what's required for the Most High to do that to you. There is no other way. Everything else, if you do it any other way, it's just you. Or maybe some other spirit that you have picked up along the way. So we got to understand this. This is what Pentecost is all about. I'm doing a new work. I used to reserve this for my prophets and my kings. Now I want to give it to you, my spirit. Why? Let's continue to read, because he don't keep nothing hidden from us. Verse 8 again. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh. but in the spirit. How? Here's an if. If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Who is the Holy Ghost? The spirit of Elohim. Who was in Christ? The spirit of Elohim. The one and self-same spirit. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. To wit, God, Elohim, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, the self-same spirit, the very same spirit. So if you don't have that spirit in you, he says you don't belong to Christ. If you don't have that spirit in you, you don't belong to Elohim. If his spirit is not dwelling in you, you don't belong to him. Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith Yah Elohim. Have to keep drumming that in because we can't get there any other way. You, I, nobody else can get there any other way. You cannot enter into his kingdom any other way. Everything else is going to be removed in the end. Everything that don't have his spirit is going to be removed. So you need to be looking to get your citizenship. You should be looking to get your sonship. That's the most important thing in the world. The most important thing in your life. I don't care how long you live. Because without that, you are going to the lake. This is what Pentecost is all about. People come together celebrating. Celebrating what? Have you done what he said to do? Did you circumcise the foreskin of your heart and let him in? Did you allow him to fill you with his spirit? Not his word. His spirit. We'll continue to read. Verse 9 again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If, big word, if, so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, the same spirit that was in Christ is the spirit of Elohim. He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, we are justified by the spirit of the Most High being in us, not by this body. And when he converts us, when he regenerates us as spiritual beings with a new body, let's read about this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. You're not in debt to the flesh to live after the flesh. You are in debt to the Most High Elohim. He came and was killed for you. Not this flesh. Your flesh ain't done nothing for you but bring you death. And in the end, it will die itself. And if you're living for this flesh, that's all you got to look forward to. Let me let the scripture talk. So you're not in debt to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What is he saying there? If you stop living for your flesh and you do mortify the deeds, you kill the deeds of the flesh, you stop living to fornicate, stop living to eat and be gluttonous or to drink and be drunk, stop living for all the things that the flesh wants. Mortify the deeds of the body. Live for the spirit of Elohim. He says, then you shall live. I'm going to raise you back up. And because you mortify the deeds of your body, I'm going to give you life eternal in paradise, in my kingdom. If you don't, I'm going to give you life eternal in the lake. If you don't mortify the deeds of your flesh. Those are your two choices. Those are only your only choices. Yah says, I come to redeem you. You want to know how to be redeemed? By my spirit. Don't accept anything else. Let's continue so we can get back. Verse 13 again. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. By my spirit, when I put my spirit in you, I will guide you by my spirit, and it's by my spirit that you become my child. My spirit not in you, you are not mine. You don't belong to me. You have to make yourself available to the Most High under his terms, not yours. According to his conditions, not yours. For verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's why he says the only thing we're supposed to fear is him. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Our Father. A lot of people calling the Most High their Father and ain't submitted themselves to him. But you my daddy. You my father. But ain't submitted themselves. Filled by his spirit. In other words, they have just chosen to call themselves his children. We are the children of the Most High. I am a child of the Most High. Did you do what he said to do? Are you born like he said you need to be born? By his spirit. That's what each and every person has to ask themselves. This is what this day of Pentecost is all about. And we don't want to fall short. Verse 16. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. The spirit of Yah tells you, you are my child. You can't tell yourself that. The spirit of Yah within us testifies to us that we are his children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If we suffer with him. Let's go back to verse 11, and then we'll go back to where we were at in Isaiah. Need to reiterate this. The utmost importance to every person. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, each and every one of you, because he's not leaving it to chance as for you to guess who the Holy Spirit is. I'm filling you with the Holy Spirit. I'm not leaving it to chance for you to guess. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, If the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I shall enter into you. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to your mortal body. How? By his spirit that dwelleth in you. You cannot get around that. You cannot interpret that any other way. You cannot add to or take away from that. If you know and understand and believe by the scripture that it said the Most High raised Christ from the dead, then whose spirit must you have? Who is the Ruach HaKodesh? There is no guessing at this thing. So let's read it one more time and then we'll move on. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, shall give life to your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You go to the grave and you don't have this. You're not getting up during the first resurrection. And even if you get up during the second resurrection and everybody else will, if he don't find his spirit in you, you go into the lake. Point blank, period. Not mine. Don't belong to me. Never did, never was. Was calling me daddy, and I was never your daddy. Been calling me daddy and saying you're doing miracles in my name. Been using my name without authority, without permission. I won't say without authority because the name comes with authority. It is authority. But you've been using it without permission. You were none of mine. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Because you never allowed me to fill you with my spirit. I pray we can catch this. This is what Pentecost is all about. On this day, he released his spirit and filled them. Go back to the book of Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah 43, verse 10. Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen. If you are a witness of Yah and you're his servant, you can't have no other testimony. You can't have no other truth. You can't witness and having not witnessed by being filled with his spirit. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe. There's a difference in knowing and believing. You can believe something that you don't know. We do it all the time through faith. But what you know, you can't be moved from. What you believe, you can be changed on. But what you know, you can't be moved from that because you know it. And we need to know what Yah has been saying. We can't just believe, well, I believe this, and this is what I believe. No, you need to know. It's a difference. It's a difference in experience that you may know and believe. Believe Yah. And understand that I am he. Before me, there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. There wasn't one before me. There ain't going to be one after me. I, even I am Yah, and beside me, there is no Savior. There is no Redeemer other than him. Isaiah 49, verse 26. The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Yah, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. All the world is going to know this. All of those who took Israel as slaves, as captives, that the Most High sent us there, but they did more than what he said to do. They understood the law of captivity. They understood with their own people, we put you in jail for a certain amount of time. Then we let you out. You have served your time for your crime. But when it came to us, no, we want to keep you in perpetual slavery. Lifelong sentence. And when you come out, if you get out, then we're going to treat you as less than. So they did that which we're not going to treat you like the Most High's people. They did other than what he wanted done. And so they're going to pay for those things. That's the word of the Most High. But all those that come to him, he says, they're going to be Israel. They're going to be just like you, one in the land. What their job will be, that's a whole other story. Scriptures will speak for themselves. But this salvation and eternal life, this day of Pentecost, this entering into the kingdom, this getting your citizenship, that's important for every single person on the planet. Far greater and better to be a servant in the kingdom of the Most High than to be in the lake of fire, trust me. And even some of our people, because of their ways, going to find themselves being as slaves in the kingdom. Because of what's in their heart. Let's continue. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Chapter 106. Psalms 106. And verse 21. The book of Psalms, chapter 106 and verse 21. They forgot Elohim, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. This is what our forefathers, this is what they're guilty of, forgetting Elohim, their Savior, their creator, their maker, the one that formed them, the one that said, you are my witnesses. I formed you so that you could be my witnesses. Forgot. Start living after the flesh, taking credit for all their blessings. Oh, I did this myself with my own hands. I dug this dirt and put these seeds in here and watered it, and I caused it to come up and give great abundance. And the Most High looked at it and said, you did? How about if I sent the cankerworm on it or the grasshopper or the locust because you don't want to give me the glory for what I have provided to you? You want to say you are great because of the works of your own hand. Whatever you're doing, understand that if you are being blessed in it, understand that Yah is blessing you in it. You need to give him the glory and the honor in it. Don't forget your Elohim. Don't forget your Savior. Don't forget your Redeemer. Honor him He says, and with everything, your wealth, your life, everything, bring about the plan that I have placed in you, that I have said that I want done, my kingdom established on this earth. That everything that you do be toward that end. And all you got to do it is for this lifetime. What is this lifetime? What is, if you live the fullness that he has given to us, 120 years in this lifetime, what is that compared to eternity? What is that compared to years without limit? And we stuck on what we can do now. We stuck on what we can achieve now. And instead of putting our minds and understanding that everything that we do is supposed to be to the establishment and the maintenance of his kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And when he comes back and we're not doing it, do you think he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? We are like that man that he gave the pound to or the talent to, and we got our salvation, but we didn't do anything else. Take it from him. Give it to somebody else who's going to do something. Let us not fall short like our forefathers did. Let us not be disobedient and selfish, because that's what we are, selfish. We think about self. That's it. Including myself, most of my life I was in that same boat, selfish. But this day of Pentecost, the whole purpose, get people into the kingdom. Teach them that they need to be filled with the Ruach of the Most High. That's the only way to enter in. Teach them to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. And allow him to fill them with his spirit. You must be born of the water and of the spirit. This word of Yah is only to introduce us to him and tell us what he wants, to remind us what the prophets were told, to remind us what his disciples taught. That's what this word is for. We can not only be just readers and hearers of the word, we must be doers of what we read. Today, we are reading that the Most High says, I will do it by my spirit. Do you believe what the word says? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Let me in, Israel. Let me in, world. Because in the end, if I don't find my spirit, everything that don't have my spirit, it's disobedient and out of order. And I will be removing it from the kingdom. It ain't hard. It ain't difficult. This is not complicated. Submit yourselves to the Most High Elohim, period. In a nutshell, recognize that he is the only way. Anything else? We just doing what we want to do, what we feel is right, what we feel comfortable with. That is the end result. Got one or two more verses. The book of Luke, chapter 1. Verse 45 through 47. After Mary has met the angel Gabriel, and he has told her what she has been chosen for, and she accepts the assignment, be it unto thy handmaid as thou hast said. She accepts the assignment. This is what she says. I think this is Elizabeth talking to her first. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which told her from Yah. And Mary said, my soul does magnify Yah, and my spirit has rejoiced in Elohim, my Savior. The Most High sent the angel to her and said, hey, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, to the one that's going to enter into the earth and save his people from their sins. And she understands that through this act, the Most High is providing the Savior, her Savior, our Savior, our Redeemer. Without his Spirit, you don't belong to him. It's by my Spirit. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Cut away all those things that are keeping you from allowing him to enter in. Your unbelief. You're wanting to do things that you don't want to give up. I don't believe I should have to do all that. You're entitled to that. You're also entitled to the consequences. This is not something that any of us should play with, period. Our Elohim has told us over and over and over in his word, it's by, and I shall pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And if I don't find my Spirit in you, you are none of mine. And it's by my Spirit, the one that raised up Messiah from the dead. If my Spirit is not dwelling in you, you are none of mine. It don't get any simpler than that. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Can't say it any clearer. I know people think that I beat you up all the time with this, but without this, you don't get in. I can say, oh, yeah. Or you'd be all right. I would be a liar, and the truth would not be in me. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that. If I'm going to go to the lake, it's going to be because I did wrong. I did wrong, not because I'm trying to appease you. Let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you for the work, the deeds, the suffering that Mashiach went through. We reverence it. We despise that he had to even be killed that we might enter in. But we thank him for his faithfulness that we might be able to enter in. Father, look upon each of us. Ever be left of that foreskin over our heart. Father, you circumcise it. You cut it out of us. You take it away, that we might be exposed to you, that we might be available to you, that you might enter in. Father, we know there is no other way. And we have gotten in the way for so many years. Move us out the way, Father. move us out the way to your people. Let us make us knowers and not just believers. Make us knowers and doers of your word. Put into us a right heart. But Father, we have never had one for you to renew it. Put into us, create in us a right heart towards you. Father, remove the spirit of whoredom from us that we should seek after other Elohim. Remove it far from us that we should only seek to serve you, you and only you. In spirit and in truth. Father, we don't care who's right. We just want to know what's right and to do it. Father, you are our rock. You are our healer. You are our provider. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our everything. And if you are not, Yah, for all those who are willing, whatever it may be, Father, cut it out. Take it out of us. That we might serve you with our whole heart, whatever's left, we serve you with all of it. Father, if you have to cut out every cell and there be only one heart cell left, let us serve you wholly with that one cell, with all that we have. We desire it. We come and we worship you and we meet on every Sabbath, Father. And we want this of you. Remove any barriers, Father, even right now. Remove it from us. Remove it from each individual. And let them come and let them be filled with your spirit. Let them get their citizenship. Let them become your child. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, all hands up. Praise Yah Elohim, thy creator, thy redeemer, and thy savior. Surrender yourself to your maker. Allow him to become your daddy, your father. As we worship, place yourself in heaven. Give him glory and honor even right now.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that to stand. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
The foreskin of your heart. Put away all those things that keep you from coming into the right relationship with Him, that keep you from being His child. Yah requires your all. Not just what you want to give him. Will you tell him yes? Will you tell him yes and mean it?
Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes.
Surrender yourself.
If I told you what I really need,
God has said, He has told us what He requires.
Would your heart and soul,
will you say yes to Him?
Now will your heart and soul say yes, yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really need,
Praise God. Praise
God.
Open your mouth. Praise God, Elohim. Give him glory. Tell him what he's done for you in your life. Surrender yourself.
Open up your heart and tell the Lord yes. Calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Hey, hey. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place.
No man can work. No man can work. There is more, so much more, so much more. He said, seek my face. He says, sing my face. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father Yah. Thank you for first loving us before we loved you. On this evening, we will do part three of this. Our Savior walked among us. And we'll bring it home into the New Testament 100% in what we should be experiencing, expecting today. We know who it is that poured out his Spirit. We know who it is that is our Redeemer and our Savior. Let us watch him in action on this evening. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom, family.
Well, can I do?